Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 638. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, just the usual this week. Nothing too crazy one way or the other. Work is work. The wrestling world is the wrestling world, but we did get what I would say is a fairly rare major title change on WWE TV this week. After The Miz committed some stomach cramping shenanigans at hour 9, and then promptly ran out of the ring and got himself counted out at the 10 o'clock hour. He was then made to wrestle a lumberjack match later against one Bobby Lashley, who finally grasps a major WWE championship for the first time, and I couldn't believe that someone said this and it was correct, but I'm going to take it that it was 17 years.
17 years? I guess that's when Bobby Lashley first started training or what have you at OVW? That sounds right.
Yeah, I didn't really, I was like, time goes by so fast, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if Lashley had started, you know, even on the main roster that long ago, because it's just like, it has been a long, 2005. Yeah, 2005. So that would, that's at least 16.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there is a pretty big break in there. So, I mean, that number is definitely not all in within the WWE itself.
No.
But, hey man, that is definitely... It's a big happening, you know? I think that that's really something that feels like it's been a long time coming, and it's really weird that it's happening right before WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, weird, that timing of all this. I mean, it just goes to show they didn't really know what they were doing. At least until, you know, like a month ago. And in some cases, I'm still not 100% sure that there's a clear direction for very much that won't be changed.
It's still a somewhat interesting way to get around to Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. I guess I do think that the dynamic works a little bit better this way, but I guess I just feel like indestructible Bobby Lashley coming after a dominant Drew McIntyre really could have worked out a lot better if they had had any forethought about this going on.
Yeah, I mean, really? They could have gotten the belt on Lashley earlier. Like, you know, months and months ago.
Oh.
and have Drew chase. Then you have Drew win the Royal Rumble a second year in a row. Yeah, that's all a tough one. But yeah, no, it feels like, yeah, that this is all kind of being thrown together. I'm glad they went through with giving Bobby that championship last night and not waiting any longer. That's absolutely the right move at this point. But you know, we also have the element of Fastlane coming up, and not knowing what exactly they can do for that show. Interesting. Also interesting that they definitely also brought Drew McIntyre's issues with Sheamus to a definitive close as well. In an absolutely tremendous match, you have to say. But you know, Drew beat Sheamus. That was his one roadblock in the way. I mean, do they run Drew versus Bobby Lashley at Fastlane? And then that leads to the question: do they have something else up their sleeve for WrestleMania?
Those are two valid questions. That, like you said, like they cleared the decks on Monday. Like, I don't see The Miz really immediately asking for a rematch.
No, I mean that's just done. Miz did his job, and it's over. There's no money in him going after Bobby Lashley. Certainly,
yeah.
There really isn't anybody else, you know, to really take a shot at Lashley, you know, on the babyface side, because it's not. Even though he was essentially the babyface during his, you know, interactions with The Miz, you know, he's, you know, Lashley's still a heel.
Yeah, and now that we're sitting here talking about this, I mean, I guess if you really want to work it in here, you could have the Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg matchup at WrestleMania.
Goldberg? Goldberg's already been beaten. there's no Goldberg.
Okay. Well, I guess I was trying to think of tricks up a sleeve for the WWE.
I guess the trick would be Brock Lesnar then.
Oh.
That would be the way to go. Whether it's a triple threat with Drew or one on one with Drew and Bobby. I mean, Brock and Bobby, which, you know, the one thing with Brock they never got around to doing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if they do have it at Fastlane, that could be something in the works. And I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if I would have to say that Brock Lesnar seems to be you know, at his own leisure coming in to do things. It would not surprise me if he informed the WWE somewhat recently of his intent or his want to come back. And that maybe these plans are last minute because of that.
Yeah, no. I mean, right now, obviously, Brock does not live in the United States. There are still issues with getting him in and out of the country, out and back into the, well, out of Canada and back in. But if they can work those out, see, you know, that being their thing and being something that they would want to do for WrestleMania. Once again, there's just doesn't feel like anything else for Fastlane but Bobby and Drew. And then once you've done it at Fastlane, I don't see it being WrestleMania worthy. I mean, which is kind of the thing for me with the whole Drew and Sheamus thing. They got the one distraction for Drew that they could have done out of the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that could have been a Fastlane match.
Yes.
Like, I can't. That was one where I was just like, I know that we kind of talked about the gauntlet matches recently, but there aren't a whole lot of nearly 23-minute matches on TV. Like, that was a really long singles match. Like, that was definitely pay-per-view length kind of match.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They definitely, you know, they got to have their match, you know. The two real life best friends who will just go out there and just beat the living crap out of each other, you know, say your sorries in the locker room. We're gonna work stiff type of match. You know, they had that match, and I don't think that they can have. I don't know if they can have a better match. So they put everything into that match.
It was they just gave that the time that it needed. And it really did turn out well, but that also kind of goes to kind of prove our point. Like, what else do you do? Like, if that, those guys are kind of built on brawling, like, I mean, I guess you could move to some type of a, you know, street fight or something with no DQ.
You could do that. Now, you could, if the plan would be to pivot to Brock versus Bobby Lashley, you could absolutely have Sheamus cost Drew McIntyre the match at Fastlane and do a big gimmick brawl at WrestleMania between those two. You could, there's ways you could bring that, bring, you know, Drew and Sheamus back around, absolutely. But you also have to heat Sheamus back up after the loss, so you can't just you can just announce it for Fastlane again. Although they would, I'm looking at a Drew versus, you know, Bobby, Fastlane right now, because there's just nobody else for either of them, really.
No, there is not anyone in their vicinity. All those people were on SmackDown. Pretty much. Like, I guess that's the other reason why I'm like, Brock Lesnar wouldn't be completely crazy to me. That's why I was thinking Goldberg, too. Like, I know that he's kind of overused, but if you have him against Lashley, it is a fresh match.
Yeah, fresh.
It's not going to be good, and
Goldberg coming off of two losses can't, you know, just there's nothing left there. Unless they just want to bring him back to squash somebody, which even at that this point, that's, you know, there's no point to that. Yeah, I'm leaning now again more to the thought that Brock Lesnar's, you know, going to be re-entering the picture soon.
Yeah, because he's the only one that, because even if I would like it more, would it be Lashley versus Brock? I guess I wouldn't be completely surprised if there has been a lot of back-to-back matches. A Drew versus Brock match wouldn't be completely off of my radar either, to be honest with you.
No, it wouldn't. But then that's so many title changes in 1 month. But, you know, it wouldn't be the first time, you know. But I do see Lashley making it to WrestleMania's champion. Yeah, it's interesting how everything's, you know, panning out and how long it's taken for us to get here. We've made it to the point over and over again. There were no seats planted, you know, back in late 2020 for anything. Very little, nothing again at the Royal Rumble. Yeah, it does feel like they've, you know, not had their ducks in order for this WrestleMania more than maybe any WrestleMania in history.
It's pretty strange, but also, and this has been a consistent talking point, that they have a little more time to straighten things out too. And I don't know if that played into this, or not, because weren't we talking last week that Lashley, if he makes it to WrestleMania's champion, he'll have been champion for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So, we've still got some time, but like you said, like at least these main event matches, there's usually more seed planting, and it really just has not been the case. And I guess I would be interested to know if that is at least playing a factor into that situation. I guess another championship match that had some seeds planted Would involve one Charlotte Flair.
Oh yeah, they certainly planted those seeds.
I mean, I think we've already kind of talked about it in and of the fact that where else do you have, like, they're kind of in that same situation. Where else do you go?
No, I don't. Yeah, no, you're right. That the Raw women's division has been terrible for months and months. Asuka's had no direction at all, and now she's got a broken now she's got a broken jaw. Or I don't know if they necessarily said a broken jaw or she just lost teeth. But
Yeah,
yeah.
at a minimum, I'm assuming she needs to take a little bit of time off from contact to let the jaw heal up from that whatever work she had done after that. Yikes. I did not see that tooth go flying until they pointed out the replay. This week, and I'm like, ooh, that's gonna hurt.
Yeah, I'm sure it didn't feel good, but no, I mean at this point, Charlotte's all they have. Doesn't look like, feel like there's enough time to introduce Rhea Ripley into the thick of things. But she could, she could be introduced to make it a triple threat. But then of course, how many matches on the show on WrestleMania are gonna end up triple threats in four ways? But but as I said, I'm not the biggest fan of the Charlotte Asuka match because they've done what they did over the summer. They made a really short-sighted decision to send Charlotte away with the injury angle from Nia Jax, and then the match with then kind of an underwhelming match with Asuka where Asuka did make her tap out.
Oh.
That was a very short-sighted decision, to not save Asuka finally beating Charlotte for WrestleMania or even another pay-per-view.
Yeah, at least
You
the
could pre I
bigger named pay-per-view.
yeah, I mean, I guess they could pretty much just pretend that that didn't happen. It might be for the best, just to pretend that didn't happen, and still. Just pretend that Charlotte is the monkey on Asuka's back that she still needs to get rid of. It'll be fine.
Oh.
They said there's just nothing. It's a situation where there's just doesn't seem to be does not seem to be anything else.
Yeah, there's not a lot of story to tell there is kind of the main problem. Yeah, I'm not really worried about them having a quality matchup. I'm sure that that will be just fine. I know that they kind of had an underwhelming match previously, but I would think that those two ladies being whom they are, I would put full faith that they would not have a second meh match. But yeah, storyline, just yeah, there's just not a whole lot to go with. And I do think that they're doing a somewhat decent job for whatever reason of pushing Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax right now. They have
Yeah.
actually been presented as kind of badass, we might injure you heels, which
Yeah,
is
no,
really works.
it does work. Their team took some doings to get to this point, but no, they're in a good position right now. They will. They've pretty much been guaranteed a slot on WrestleMania. It'll
Oh.
likely be some kind of a four way, maybe even a mixed brand four way. Yeah, to get more women on the card,
Yes.
type of situation. But yeah, no. But no, their spot in WrestleMania is pretty solidified with their recent work and yeah, how heavily they've been pushed.
Yeah, and they've actually kind of given some tag teams, a fighter's chance against them, which is why I did find it pretty odd that Naomi lost cleanly in a very short amount of time this week.
Did not like that at all. That was not. They didn't really do right by Naomi and Lana there for that matter. Because that match still should be coming up if it Fastlane if not Russell if not part of WrestleMania. But yeah, no, I didn't. No, so I guess as I said, I just didn't really care for the brevity of that match and or how easily Naomi was defeated. But no, I mean, as you said, no. They've been doing a good job with Nia and Shayna lately.
There's a little bit of a balance to be struck sometimes about being killer heels and protecting the baby faces that are supposed to be challenging them. How about not having them in matches against each other? Have them
Yeah,
beat other women's tag teams.
there was absolutely there was no reason for that match. Yeah, and no, Nia Jax shouldn't be taking singles losses to Naomi either. So there was no reason to have that match.
I mean, I'm not even sure that I really want to see, just for the matter of I'd rather see it as a singles match, Shayna Baszler versus Naomi.
Yeah, no, that could be good, yes.
So, yeah, not particularly wanting the tag team versions of those matches. Yeah, keep these people out of the situations, people. That's all we're saying. I guess I'm trying to think of what else really happened on Raw because
Well,
the mid.
speaking of keeping people out of situations, I don't, I do not think that Damian Priest should be having these long ass back and forth matches with people they're not pushing. It's the second week in a row they've done that to him. And while Bad Bunny just stands outside, it's just like you're not pushing Elias, just squash him then. I mean, there's no need to go back and forth. And there was definitely no need to go back and forth with Angel Garza the week previous, who is barely even on TV anymore.
Yeah, that one I did not feel like was as egregious as this week's match. Because Elias hasn't been on TV in a while, I feel like at this point. And when you can't get fit in a 3-hour program, it's pretty rough out there, kids. So yeah, Damian Priest really should have gotten rid of him with a quickness, especially if now that The Miz is relieved of the WWE Championship again, we can get some Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and Morrison.
Oh yeah, that's still certainly going to be our WrestleMania match for
I guess you
weeks
want
to come.
Damian Priest looking good enough that he can be, you're always going to be able to sell The Miz and John Morrison on their past credentials against the relative newcomer in Damian Priest.
Yeah, no, I mean, Miz is going to. Really light it up on the microphone in these situations. No matter what, you can't take that away from him. That he will absolutely, really fire this one thing. Well, I mean, Priest isn't a good promo. Bad Bunny, I guess, barely speaks English. I mean, it's gonna have to be Miz carrying this damn thing.
Yeah, I guess I'm
Morrison.
okay
Yeah.
with what Priest does. Like, he's nothing to write home about,
No,
but
no, no.
I think he falls into the character well, Because it does really just kind of genuinely seem like him. It really works for him. But again, like there, he doesn't need to be in a long talking segment either. Like, yeah, he doesn't need to be in those. Just shouldn't be his role right now. He's too big of a guy to be in that long promo discussion.
No, we're correct.
So, yeah, that was definitely part of Raw. There was something else that I feel like... Braun Strowman was left out of the Elimination Chamber. And now he is mad with management. And it does seem like I feel like I already saw the... I'm not sure that I necessarily would have seen it coming, but people have already said, hey... We're getting Shane versus Strowman at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that certainly looks to be the plan. But as many people pointed out, Shane looked a little tired following his dance routine. And you could hear it in his voice that he was sucking some wind. It's like, oh boy. Age catching up with old Shane O'Mac there finally. You know, that might not be pretty.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Shane is not a spring chicken anymore. And just because I'm in his age range, not always easy to keep yourself in shape.
No, it certainly is not. And if Shane wasn't necessarily in his mindset of doing a match at WrestleMania, and then it just kind of, you know, popped up a couple of weeks back, maybe there's a good reason that he's not totally ready yet. but yeah, no, I mean, at its best, a Shane, you know, Braun Strowman match could be fun, you know. If Shane's game to take his usual beating,
oh right,
I'm sure. Yeah, but you got to feel bad for Kevin Owens, who, as of last year's WrestleMania, believed that he had called dibs on jumping off of the pirate ship. But if Shane McMahon is having a match, I'm pretty sure that spot's been taken.
yeah, I think Shane gets that spot if he does indeed have a match, since that is 100% his calling card is always getting to do the craziest thing on the show, and usually missing horrifically. Oh, no, I mean, I guess he doesn't really miss horrifically all the time, just sometimes.
Yeah.
There have been quite a few connections, because I guess I started thinking about the Van Terminator the first time he did that, but that was a long time ago.
That's 20 years this year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, WrestleMania 17, it's 20 years ago this year.
Wow.
And so is the 20th anniversary of the death of WCW, because that's the same week.
Wow! Yep. Holy smokes! So we've had nearly 18 years of WWE sole ownership of major market wrestling.
18. I just said 20.
Yeah, but AEW's been around for a year and a half.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, I'm taking that time out.
And we don't even count TNA.
No, because I mean, I still don't think, like, I'm trying to think if Paul White would have gone over to TNA like back in the heyday. You know, like, because, yeah. Like, the people that they took, that TNA took, were the people that, a lot of them were the problem children of the WWE. So, yeah, the big names that they did get were not the best. So I kind of wonder if Paul White would have been there. And I mean, Hulk Hogan obviously always has his own ulterior motives when he goes to a new brand.
Correct.
Even if things don't work out well, he always has something up his sleeve. So, yeah. I don't really count his name as kind of defecting, per se. Yeah, they just never got big enough. Like, as much as, like, instead of turning on Twitch recently, I've been trying to catch up on Ring of Honor as we've done this show. And I was pretty much behind, and I am almost caught up on watching last week's as we talk. And I've still just, like, Impact/TNA has been so easy to, like, there's just been large swaths of it that I haven't seen, do not plan on seeing ever, you know. Because don't they have the whole archive? Like, if I got the, whatever Impact is calling their, is it Impact Plus?
Yeah, Impact Plus, yes.
If I got Impact Plus, like, I wouldn't go back to watch the old, because I'm assuming they have the old, was it monthly pay-per-views or was it weekly pay-per-views?
The weekly at first.
Okay. Yeah, I would never go back to watch those. Like, I don't watch the content that I know I enjoy on the WWE Network. Like, I'm not going to go back and torture myself with the dicks or something like that. Is that what their name was?
I think it was the Johnsons.
The Johnsons. Ah. Okie dokie. They were more clever than I thought. I'm never gonna do that. There's some stuff from Ring of Honor that I could definitely see myself going back to watch at some juncture, because they did have the legitimate AJ Styles, Samoa Joes, CM Punks, and all those guys that you could really hop into. I would almost give more of a nod to ROH in that department, but they've still just never made it big time either, really.
No, certainly not.
So, yeah, like, I would definitely say until AEW, there hasn't been, and I don't even know if it's a challenger at this point, so much as there's enough. It seems fairly obvious that there's enough wrestling talent to fill a lot of TV shows.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, I know that, like, Jeremy still religiously watches MLW, when, obviously, out of Cleveland? Absolute Intense Wrestling was around. We were definitely keeping more track of them. Like, sometimes I got more of an enjoyment out of that stuff, honestly, recently than some of the WWE stuff.
Yeah.
But there's, there's a lot of options for wrestling viewing, and definitely there's a hierarchy to quality sometimes. But no one's really challenged the WWE for, but that's crazy. I guess I did not realize that the demise of WCW was 20 years ago. at this point, like, I almost, we've been doing a podcast for more than half of that time. Good God. Okay. So yeah, I think, does that wrap up Shane and Strowman?
Yeah. Yes, Shane and Strowman. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's where we got off on that one. Yeah, there wasn't really a whole lot. I mean, Mustafa Ali beating Riddle, is there really much to go over there?
Not much. I mean, well,
go. Other than the WWE's terrible booking.
For what?
WWE's terrible booking. Like, they always love to have new champions take losses.
Yeah, again, it's not the best look for Riddle, but I also don't give a crap about Riddle, so. So we'll see where it goes. I assume Mustafa Ali is going to get himself a U.S. title shot against Riddle down the road. Maybe he'll win it, maybe he won't. I don't know. That's again, not much to stick your teeth into there.
Yeah, so I guess we can head on over to the Blue Brand then. And we get the continued intertwined saga that is involving Roman Reigns, Edge, and even Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, no, this is really interesting how they're doing all of this. You know, Daniel Bryan inserting himself into the situation. You know, challenging Roman Reigns for Fastlane, but, you know, having to go through Jey Uso first. You know, the match that first ends on a double countout. Now on Friday, there's the cage match, where if Bryan wins, he gets the Fastlane title match at Fastlane. But if he loses, he must shake Roman Reigns' hands and acknowledge him as his tribal chief. Which I assume Bryan's winning that one. But the more interesting part of the whole night was, you know, not happy about this turn of events, Edge, who was certainly acting a little more heelish than he has in, a decade.
Well, yeah, it just makes for
outwardly complaining about Daniel Bryan, you know, jumping the line and whatnot.
Yeah, it's kind of strange to have that that point be made by Edge, and he definitely made it be known. It wasn't definitely a quiet thing, because he brought it up directly to Daniel Bryan after bringing it up in an interview, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, he brought it up twice in the office with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville, and then interrupted Daniel Bryan's interview. Yeah, he did not look happy about this turn of events. He was not happy with Daniel Bryan, nor did he make the save when Daniel Bryan was being beat down 2-on-1. So that's interesting that, you know, we're going down this road potentially. You know, Daniel Bryan in the picture, you know, he's definitely a babyface. Roman Reigns is definitely a heel, and it's, you know, Edge behaving in an ambiguous fashion, which you would not think he would be doing if we're just going towards Edge versus Roman Reigns 1-on-1.
Yeah, it would be kind of a strange spot to put Edge in.
Yeah, I mean they could scale it back on Friday and kind of pretend like Edge's attitude didn't happen, if that's still the plan. But no, it's definitely throwing a little bit of a monkey wrench into things. And you know what? Did you notice anything about Edge that just kind of seemed off? Like, he just looked like somebody who hadn't slept. He's kind of walking slouched. He's walking with a bit of a limp.
Oh.
He does not look like, you know, spending an hour in the Royal Rumble was very good for him.
I can't say I noticed anything myself, but maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Maybe I actually watched most of this on Friday and don't particularly remember thinking that to myself.
Yeah, no, it was noticeable to me that Edge just did not look like he was on his game on Friday, even with the limited involvement he had in the show. No, this is all interesting to me that maybe they're not confident in Edge being able to carry the load in a singles match at WrestleMania.
I mean, that would be crazy, to be honest with you. Like, because it's not going to be as long as being in a Royal Rumble match. And
Right.
honestly, if that was one of your concerns, why are you putting him in a Royal Rumble match for that amount of time?
Yeah, no. Or maybe they're just having buyer's regret on Edge winning the Rumble to begin with. Just from a creative standpoint. I don't know. I mean, I know Roman Reigns needs an opponent for Fastlane, and Daniel Bryan is literally the best opponent he can have in multiple ways. Daniel Bryan is literally the best opponent for Roman Reigns, but no, it was just, you know, how strong they were going with Daniel Bryan and the kind of subtle, heelish, whining and complaining that Edge was doing that really struck me.
It was pretty odd to have him do that since obviously they've been presenting him. They brought up the Ultimate Opportunist name, but they have definitely not presented him that way.
Right.
So, and it yeah, it would just seem weird to do that right now. Everyone is still happy that he's back. Like, I know that he's already had another injury. But, it's, yeah, he should be back for a little while. Like, I mean, he still has a fairly lengthy contract, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, just have him less wrestle less. Like, I guess I don't get that point either sometimes. Like, I still think that well, he hasn't wrestled a match here, at least on TV so far.
Oh, he has a
Or
match with Randy Orton.
this week?
No, the night after Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Well, he has wrestled minimal TV matches, I should say. So I do think that they're kind of getting that part right with him, but he doesn't really need to wrestle a whole lot of matches.
No, he does not.
So but he also he doesn't need to be a heel, especially if he's going to go against Roman Reigns, or even if he goes against Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns in a three-way. Like, I don't think that's necessary to have him in that position.
No, not I guess no. It's not necessary. Other than Edge is historically better as a heel.
Yeah, but I mean, he's in just such a unique spot in his career
Yeah.
that I do think that that supersedes his history at this point.
I understood.
So, Yeah, that's it was an interesting development that they had going on there that can be resolved, but we will see what happens with that moving forward. It is pretty interesting that the WWE is yet again getting behind one Mr. Otis, it would seem. At least in a tag team form.
Otis and Gable have certainly been pretty. They've been mopping the floor with the Mysterio family for the last couple of weeks. Not really. Mysterio's not really getting much of anything, especially when Otis gets going. That's interesting. I could see. Although the Mysterios would have to gather some momentum, or they'd have to move another team in, but I could see the WrestleMania SmackDown title match being something of a four-way with Rude and Ziggler, Street Profits, Otis and Gable, and the Mysterios. That would sound right, unless of course the Street Profits get the titles back before, which. For some reason, they're doing this thing where Sonya Deville is essentially only being a heel to the Street Profits.
No.
It's like she's being fair otherwise, but she just doesn't like the Street Profits for some reason.
That would be kind of funny if something of that nature comes to light at some point, but I don't feel like they have a greater point in their storytelling. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of faith in the WWE in that department. But yeah, I could see that. The tag team title pictures are so plain Jane, and those do always seem like one of the they try to keep the big titles closer to the singles matches. It's not saying that they haven't had multi-person matches in those situations, but it does tend to not be it tends to be the lower card matches that end up getting that treatment, I would think. And the tag team match seems like a good spot to do that in this situation because no one's really has a real distinction to itself. Even
Right.
the Road Dogs, is that what they're calling themselves now? The Road Dogs?
No. The Dirty Dogs, I
Dirty
think. Dirty
Dogs.
Dogs, yes.
Oh, good gravy. So, yeah. That is something else as far as that goes. I guess that works out. Apollo Crews continues to be an interesting force on the SmackDown brand here.
One Mr. Apollo Crews is certainly, trying out a new character. Which, you know what? I'll certainly let it play out. He seemed comfortable doing it. That now that he is the descendant of Nigerian royalty, it's an interesting way to go about Apollo Crews and giving him more of a personality. Now, so no, it was good, and yeah, I look forward to seeing what he can do with it and his eventual full-on feud with Big E.
Yeah, because what? Oh, yeah, they were saying that Big E was out with an injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, Apollo put him out.
So, yeah. There's the continued push of Tamina and Natalya, which is definitely one of the teams that seems like they could be in that multi-brand match
Why?
that you were talking about.
No, never, no. why with these two? And why were they?
I guess this is as good a spot as any for them at this point.
No, it's not. No spot is.
The women's tag team division to exist in some way. To me, just the two of them are better off to, if nothing else, do what they've been doing for years and kind of be a stepping stone team. Like, if you want to pump them up for one run, go for it, I suppose. But, I'm not exactly expecting a whole lot out of that tandem, like, other than being gatekeeper still, just in a different, slightly different role. So, there's that. We got the Bianca Belair officially declaring that she's going after Sasha Banks at WrestleMania this year.
Yeah, no, glad they finally got that out of the way. Not happy to see Reginald still involved in the storyline. He is just such channel-changing, go-away heat with me. There's no salvaging his involvement. It's basically got to turn into what they did with we mentioned WrestleMania 17, 20 years ago, Austin and Rock, where they interjected Deborah into the storyline and then just
unceremoniously.
Unceremoniously, yes. Maybe there's another better word, but unceremoniously just dropped her from the whole thing. When they realize it wasn't working. Hopefully something like that will happen here, because this Reginald shit ain't working.
I don't get why they think it's working. Like, that part is a little confusing to me.
Yeah, I don't get what they see in him. I don't think he's anybody's, friend or cousin or anything. And there's just no, there's no upside here. And I'm sure Carmella is so happy that her sidekick is on TV every week and she's not.
Her and Corey Graves not doing favors for each other. That's for sure. Corey Graves does not have power with the book, it would seem.
I do not believe so.
At a minimum, she would get on TV, more than Reginald. Good gravy. He just continues to be, he should not be the driving force in this feud. He's someone else's valet, essentially.
Yes,
sommelier. But, why, man? He does not need to be involved in this shit at all. Like, he's done. Out. These two will have a good enough match without him.
Yeah. And it's hurt. I mean, once again, what's the belt? Oh, God, if he's at ringside just running interference and doing his Cirque du Soleil bullshit. Oh, my God. He is going to ruin that match if they let him. Oh, hopefully they won't. Oh, God.
This is where we're at with Reginald already.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, we're not gonna see anything more of that. I guess Seth Rollins still kind of, despite the fact that him and Cesaro are facing off, I don't know why I keep on forgetting that he's on there, especially since they're really, they still seem to be pushing Cesaro pretty hard as a singles wrestler here.
Yeah, they definitely are. They definitely see Seth as someone who can bring out the best in Cesaro and get him even more over. I could certainly see, Cesaro actually winning the big match between the two, or at least if that's the goal that he should. I thought the bit with the giant swing and Seth's reactions was hilarious. Him still holding onto the microphone and begging Cesaro to stop was some really great stuff. Yeah, no, this has been good so far.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see what that ends up working out to. And I think that about covers things, does it not?
I think so too.
Because you had some little scuttlebutt that you brought up before the show that we could talk about on air about the potential unconfirmed shifting of NXT to Tuesday nights.
Yeah, that those rumors are in the air, and they're getting louder and louder. It sounds like it's something that could certainly happen. It was in the air when the announcement was made that NBC Sports was shutting down and Wednesday Night NHL coverage was potentially going to be moving to the USA Network. So yeah, this could be an early start to getting NXT acclimated with its new night of the week. You know what? It's probably for the best for both shows.
Oh, yeah, I think everyone will have more viewers.
Yeah.
So.
The Wednesday Night War never actually captured the public's attention in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah. No.
So hopefully we can get both of these shows to ratings that are considered good by any standard.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They obviously, someone's paying them money, so they're getting what they want out of their money, evidently, because neither seems to be in fear of being dropped anywhere. But audiences, not particularly great. So, yeah, Wednesday Night War never really, like you said, it never really appeared. And I, kind of going back to, there's just a lot of options, and I don't think you're going to have that type of a war anymore. And it was just so easy too, where I will be enjoying my Shaq wrestling birthday present tomorrow, and then talk about it on Thursday. So I don't mind. I didn't watch AEW and NXT on the same night anyway. Or at least I only watched like the beginning of AEW on Wednesday nights. So if NXT shifts to Tuesday, it does make viewing easier. Podcasting is in a strange spot given my employment status in the positive. So and not working from home. So can't exactly do this in during the day. That would be super awkward. So yeah, podcasting will be really weird if that's the case. But we will figure that out when that ends up becoming official. For now, I will talk. My lovely, lovely wife got me a little early birthday present. Jackie O's is a world-renowned brewery down in Athens, Ohio. One of the earlier craft breweries in the state. And this beer was fresh off the truck from down in Athens, because they have a new tap room in downtown Columbus where the old elevator tap room was. And for now, they are just doing pickup beers. And this one is called Fission Fusion Hazy Double IPA Citra Nelson Sauvin and Galaxy Hops, 9% alcohol. They said it was going to be juicy. It is extremely juicy, quite citrusy. and extremely tasty. And I believe that Jack Yo's is distributing throughout the state these days. So if you can get your hands on this one, I would certainly heartily suggest it. It is delicious. So, Bell Time Beer of the Show. I'm at DeFrango11. That's at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to download this fine, fine podcast. And have a good night.
Later.